ABC Radio Australia.
Without a doubt, Gava's popularity in the Pacific is unmatched. The drink has its traditional roots in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa and Vanuatu, but its popularity is also growing in places like Solomon Islands and Kiribati. But now, in a bid to get it even more popular to non-Pacific markets, there are moves to add flavour to it, to get chocolate or guava-flavoured Gava. Joining me now is Fe'iloa Kitau Kahotevi, founder of Pacifica Gava Forum and a Gava enthusiast. With that, I say, Malo tau mai pongpongini, welcome to the show.
Yeah, malo tau mai pongpongini, Peggy, how are you?
I am good, thank you, Faye, for joining us. As a Gava enthusiast, what are your thoughts about flavoured Gava?
Thanks, Peggy. I think it basically is driven by the market, eh? And so if you do have a market demand for such for such products, I don't see any reason why, one shouldn't be entrepreneurial and engaging. We have a number of Pacifica Gava Forum members, and in their own businesses have began to look at adding flavor to Gava. There are some concerns about the cultural dimension of it, and that's a discussion that's being held at present. Notwithstanding that, I think there's a lot of space for these types of innovation and technologies and tastes to develop. Eh? You have people like in Florida and in Honolulu, the younger generation, Palangi generation, European, who have not grown up with Gava. But are coming to like Gava as its effects, for its effects and for the sedative effects and relaxing effects that it adds, and if that's adding flavor to it, why not? Yeah.
But I do have to ask in regards, because I want to touch on this, traditions and culture, have they overstepped the line or not? Well, I mean, would it not take away from the quality or even the uniqueness of what Gava is?
I think there are several positions around culture and Gava, eh? Because Gava has always evolved with culture, what we've had in the past when Gava was just a drink for the chiefs, it was made by certain people in the clan. Now Gava is being in the late 50s, early 60s, coming into the 70s, Gava evolved as well to become a popular drink, drunk by everybody and accessible to everyone. Right? And so this, from a cultural standpoint, culture needs to evolve and Gava needs to evolve with it. And so if that is the trend, then let's make sure that what is being shared and what is being produced as Gava, if we want to be culturally mindful, that we maintain a certain cultural pillar in terms of what culture is to Gava and what Gava is to culture. But that should not stop innovation from happening.
Yeah.
And that should not stop the demand. Eh?
Faye, is it enough then for companies to say it broadens its appeal and the money made from it helps the farmers live a decent living? Your thoughts?
In terms of decent living, I think definitely there is positive returns to be made from Gava farmers producing more Gava to meet market demand. But you will not take away the cultural importance of Gava, say for example for the Tongan culture, even for the Fijian culture, it's important, it's there. But I mean, look at the likes of Kiribati, for example, where Gava was not part of their culture. Now it is part of their culture in Kiribati. Look at the likes of the Solomons, where Gava was there before the missionaries came and took it away, and now Gava was introduced back in the 80s. Into the Solomon Islands, and they have absolutely no cultural references with regards to Gava. But culture now and kava is brought back into the culture of the Solomon Islands, and it's a wonderful development that people should go in and experience, where a certain culture in the Pacific is now taking in and integrating kava into its own cultural development and growth.
Thank you for that, Faye. I want to know, there have been complaints that the price of guava has actually dropped in some countries after Australia opened up the market for its pilot program. Is this actually being found across the Pacific?
Yes. I mean, there has been just a massive production of guava to meet the Australian demand. But what has happened is that there has been an overproduction. Typically, anyone who would be following the guava market trend, we usually produce more than we actually need. And the advice to the farmers now is really, you know, keep the guava in the ground and just take a little bit. There's a saturation of the market now. You know, in Tonga, the guava is now at $50. And will decrease if there's our cover consumers in Tonga are becoming more selective with their cover, and so this is an indication of the availability of good cover around in Tonga and also in Fiji. I mean, the local market in and of itself is saturated. Yeah.
Faye, I have to ask though, have you ever tasted flavored cover? If there was a flavor you'd like, what would that be?
You know what, the vanilla flavored cover is not too bad. I'm a vanilla enthusiast, but I tasted it. I like it. But it doesn't take away from the social attraction of cover when you are sitting around with friends, having a bowl of cover, relaxing into the evening, listening to songs. I think that is what attracts people to cover. It's the social gathering and the cultural needs and relationships that are being formed, consolidated and strengthened when you sit around and drink kava. And that's the cultural dimension of kava. That's you know what we experience kava for in the Pacific, and maybe in the US they experience kava differently. All said, kava is still kava. And kava is an excellent drink. It's not a drug. It's a sedative. It relaxes the body, and it's appealing to today's society.
But does pineapple and guava and gava really go together?
Well, I mean, you look at what we do when we do drink kava in the Pacific. If you look at, for example, in Vanuatu, when people take kava, they take something to chase the kava, like a chaser. Eh? Now, what's the difference between taking kava and having a piece of pawpaw to chase that with, and then having kava that's already infused with pawpaw, with a pawpaw taste? If you catch my drift, eh? So when you drink kava, normally, like in every night here around in Tonga, you drink kava. Some people use chips. Some people drink oranges. Eat oranges. Some people eat apples. So what would be the difference of eating apples after you drank a kava and having a kava-induced apple-flavored drink?
I will have to try that one day, Faye. Finally, look, just before we let you go, though, just your message. I mean, you spoke about the evolvement of guava itself across the Pacific and overseas to Australia, America. What would be your message this morning for people to have to accept that this is where guava is going?
I think there's a market and a space for everybody. In the Pacific, our cultures have been accommodating for so long. That's number one. Number two, kava has also evolved from where we were back in the 1920s to where we are today, 2022 and 2023. Kava has come a long way. I've just discovered, thanks to a good friend of mine in Vanuatu, Michael Luze, uh, he he just shared with me some documentation that kava was already known to the scientific world back in the 1870s. So kava has come a long way, yeah? If we like it, whether we like it or not. And kava culture has also evolved with it. Eh? And so I think the message for us is, you know, kava has its space in culture, and culture is important for kava. But kava has also evolved through the ages, through the years, to what it is today, where it is a product that is attracting the attention of the younger Caucasian Western generation, who are looking for drinks that are relaxing, given today's stressful world. This is one way of doing it. And if you want to use, and if you want to experience kava in the cultural setting, come to the Pacific. If you want to experience kava in a bar, go to Hawaii, or even go to Suva for that matter. Just look at the growth of the kava bars in Fiji. We started with no more than maybe six or less than five 3 years ago. Today we have about, I think, 30 or 40 kava bars in Fiji alone. Right, so it's a growing trend. Kava is being sold to attract and to meet the demand of our population and our market. And if you go into these kava bars, Aggie, you will see that people still practice the cultural rituals around kava in the kava bars. Okay? So that is development. That is an evolution of kava, and the evolution of the culture of kava that's happening. And we should appreciate that. Take that for what it is.
Absolutely.
But also respect. Respect the fact that, you know, kihetamafa kava. If the king is now recognized when he drinks his kava, that is culture also, and we should respect it as well.